From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to the Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
All right, we are here on the Brian and Vinny Show, everybody. It is February 11, 2014. Figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. Hope everybody enjoyed the lovely Hawaiian music that kicked off this show. And what I'm really hoping is that I could find Hawaiian music because I haven't recorded the intro yet. And so it's very likely that you may have heard something else and I pretended it was Hawaiian. We got Vinny here. What's going on,
it's
Vinny?
It's me.
Yeah, what's happening?
I was hanging out on a Tuesday night.
Hanging out on a Tuesday night. Are you ready to do this show?
Always.
Are you sad that Craig is not here with us this evening?
Now they mentioned he's not here, is he?
No, he's not here.
Yeah.
You could have brought him over to your house.
I figured he'd be in Hawaii with you.
No, he's not. By the way, I heard that Bridget has gone to Hawaii. And in addition to going to Hawaii, she went down the road to Hana. Is that correct?
Yeah, she has.
She has. And I heard that she was not blown away by it.
I know a lot of people it's polarizing. I believe she liked it. I've talked to other people who say who really, really, really bad did not like it.
Is she there? Can you get like a thumbs up or a thumbs down what she thought of the road to Hana?
She's actually in the next room on the phone.
Oh, really? All right. Well, maybe before the show is over.
I can send her a text if you want.
Do that. Find out her thoughts on the road to Hana. I'm very interested in this.
What are your thoughts?
Well, how can I say this? The road to Hana is very windy. And I think it took us about 2.5 hours to get here on this this very, very windy road. And for about the first, the first half hour, it's kind of exciting. You're on this very, very windy road and there's cliffs and everything like that. And it's kind of cool. After about the first half hour, it's just kind of a really windy road for a long time. So I was not blown away by the road to Hana, but I will say that today in Hana, we went to some.
Hang on just a second.
Okay.
I want to know your thoughts on the road to Hana. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Did you hear that?
I heard a thumbs down, I believe.
Thumbs down, and she wants to know why the fuck you would ever want to go on such a windy road.
We went on a
road. See, not much, she says.
We went on the windy road because we're staying in Hana. We're actually in Hana right now.
Because they're staying there.
This is awesome. Maybe Bridget could just replace you on the show for the night.
Would you like to replace me?
I've
never been to Hana. No. Okay, that's not going well.
No. No, we're staying in Hana here. And the road is very windy, and it was funny because we mentioned on Facebook that we're going to Hana, and there were like some people were nearly everybody was not a big fan of the road itself. But I will say that we are staying here in Hana, and we went on a hike today. I don't know if there's like an official name for where we went. Whitney would probably know. Is there an official name for where we went? It's just state park. Anyway, the point is, we went on this hike around the state park, and it's right on the, I guess we're on the eastern coast of Maui right now. And so if you look out, you can see like the end of the world. And apparently, if you keep looking, you'd run into like Latin America or something like that. But you can't see that obviously from here. I don't know if any of you are aware of the geography of Hawaii, but it's a long way away. But anyway, the point is, we hiked along these cliffs. And I have to say that the cliff that we hiked along in Hana, black sand beach, lava, it was the coolest hike, the coolest. I think it was the most beautiful place I've ever been in my entire life, this hike here in the state park in Hana. So I don't know if she got out to do any hiking or if she just whizzed down this road and then whizzed all the way back. But if anybody goes to Hana, you got to go hiking on the cliffs at the state park because it's the coolest thing ever. And it made the windy road to Hana worth it. I will say that.
Bridget wants to know if you bought any banana bread.
No, but we were on the way here, and Whitney was desperately looking for banana bread. So we're apparently going to buy it probably on the way back. Is it good?
Is it good? She didn't buy any. Apparently, it's all over the place.
Oh, there was... Well, we found... not banana bread, but it was like... what kind of bread was it? Pineapple bread. And didn't really trust the pineapple bread. But I hear the banana bread is awesome, so we will... We will get some banana bread here, but I really like Hana, except for the complete lack of cell service and internet. It's a miracle this show is being done right now. But aside from that, it's a pretty cool place, although I could do without the windy road. I guess the windy road is something that you got to do once, but apparently there are, tell Bridget this, there are people that commute the road to Hana on a daily basis. Ask her what she thinks about that.
Hey, Bridget, do you know there are people who commute the road to Hana on a daily basis? She knew.
What does she think of these people?
Would you ever do that? What do you think of those people? Those people are insane.
Bridget's going to be a regular on the show before I'm done with this. All right, let's start getting into these shows. And if I can think of anything else to talk about, I'll throw it in. I did watch the Hulu version of Raw. And in the Hulu version of SmackDown. So I've essentially seen all of SmackDown. I've seen the edited version of Raw. And so tonight, everybody, even though I didn't watch the entire show, you guys are going to get a look at what WWE feels is worthy of cutting out of Raw, which begs the question why it's even in the show in the first place. So that'll be my contribution to the Raw report.
Well, the answer to that question is it's not. They know it doesn't need to be a 3-hour show.
Sure. But apparently, like,
it just says the black. Oh, go ahead.
The Betty White deal was, it was worthy of being cut, as I had thought when I first heard about it.
I can confirm this.
Yes. Now, what'd she say about the Black Rocks?
She has a note and a question. The note is that the Black Sand Beach was the best part of that side of the island.
Sure, yeah.
And she wants to know if you went swimming in the 7 sacred pools.
We did
my
not. Answer,
my thought to that would be no, because you hate swimming.
That's a very big part of it. But no, we did not go to these 7 sacred pools. But I did hear the story about them. And Whitney told the story and then very matter-of-factly alerted me that they were not, in fact, sacred. So we didn't go.
Ah,
yeah. They're just all right, so, pools of water.
So we're doing SmackDown first?
Yeah, let's do SmackDown first.
Okay, sorry. What, dear? He liked the Black Sand Beach. He did not go swimming. No swimming, no snorkeling.
Yeah, no.
All right.
We'll do plenty of swimming and snorkeling when we get to the other side of the island, but nothing here. We did see the water, but we didn't. I think Whitney went in a little bit, but we haven't done a lot of swimming here. We've just done a lot of hiking.
I'm very jealous. I like hiking. It's just been miserable. We finally got snow where I live. It was about 2 inches of the wettest, slushiest stuff you ever saw, and then it rained all day today, and now it's all gone.
You know, the hike, by the way, it was snowing when we left, but we knew that we were going to Hawaii, and so Whitney left the house in flip-flops. She didn't even bring real shoes. She left the house, and she trudged through snow in her flip-flops to get into the shuttle to go to the airport. So we come here, we go on the road to Hana, all that, and we decide we're going to go for a hike today. And there's lava rock everywhere. That's why the sand on these beaches is black, because hot lava flowed from a volcano, destroyed life everywhere, and then cooled into this black lava rock. Some of which has become sand, and some of which is just you hike on it. You hike on this black lava rock. So I don't know if you've ever hiked on lava rock, but it's not smooth. So we go on this hike, and again, all Whitney has are her flip-flops. So we're in the middle of this hike, and we pass by this older lady. She's probably mid-50s or so. And she comes up and she goes, "Did you guys hike to the airport?" And suffice to say, we had not hiked to the airport. But apparently you can hike like from the beach all the way to this little airport. And we're like, no, we didn't hike to the airport. And this woman then proceeds to tell Whitney that she shouldn't be hiking in flip-flops. Her feet are sunburned. She needs to take better care of herself. And then she just trudges along on her way, apparently the 2 miles all the way to the airport. So we later hiked back to the beach. And we decided on the way out we were going to drive by the airport just to see what it looked like. And we drive by the airport, and guess who's getting into their car? Same old lady who had hiked the 2.5 miles or whatever through lava rock all the way to get to the airport. And thought about throwing something at her, but we just kind of let her be. But this airport is like, it's a small strip of land with a bunch of one-seater airplanes that I will never go on as long as I live on this earth. So I recommend the hike. I don't recommend the airport or the flight.
All right, then.
SmackDown.
Meanwhile, I watched SmackDown. Nia Brandi came out for a promo. If I never hear the words face of the WWE again, I'd be very happy. Like, whatever the network costs, I would pay double that to just remove that phrase from existence. He said Kane had chokeslammed him to hell. And although he had stood out of Kane's way ever since Kane had gone corporate, he now wanted an explanation from his former tag team partner to his actions. So Kane came out, gave an insincere apology. Bryan said, take off that tie, put on that mask, bring Kane back. They jibber-jabbered a long time, and finally Kane booked Bryan against Antonio Cesaro, and that was that.
You know, the bigger issue than this line about the face of the company is Daniel Bryan's overly scripted babyface verbiage. It sucks.
Sure, yeah.
It sounds like their idea is we're sick of this guy getting cheered, so we'll let him be a babyface, but we're going to give him the worst material ever and make sure that he sounds like a geek. This was not good.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
And Kane's brow is just gigantic.
I'm sorry, Kane's what? I lost one word there.
His brow.
His brow. Well, that's what Kane looks like, I'm afraid.
I mean, maybe there's other stuff that's gigantic, but the brow is the one that really sticks out to me.
In the most random match in many a day, Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose against Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
Two dudes in the Shield who never team, and Cole even pointed out it was their first match as a tag team, and two just completely random babyfaces.
Yes.
So Seth is on commentary talking about how there's no tension in the Shield. They're a solid unit. He did fine. Dolph, as usual, made a completely out of control comeback. You know, I've been neutral on Dolph for most of his career, really. Ever since watching that stupid promo of his. I watch him more closely, and I think this guy would be zero fun to work with.
Oh, yeah.
Just running all over the place, out of control.
Fast as possible.
As fast as possible. Hitting hard for no reason and to get no reaction. So Reigns finally cut him off. Ambrose tried to tag himself in, but that just resulted in more tension. There was brawling at ringside, and finally Reigns cut Dolph off with a Superman punch and killed him to death with a spear. Then he casually walked over to the corner, he tagged Dean in, and Dean smirked and came in and made the cover and got the pin. And then they kind of stared at each other, and Seth made peace again. And then the Wyatts appeared on the screen, cut a promo, laughing at them, calling them fools, saying they bickered like children. And Harper said that those who did not follow would be the first to burn. So, good match was what it was. Booking was good. Promo was fine.
You know, I may be wrong about this, and maybe Mooka could correct me, but or Mookie. But anyway, it seems to me that back in the day, they used to beat Dolph Ziggler regularly. This was still back when he was being buried. But every now and then they'd give him like one win. You know, to give him a little bit of credibility. It's all out the window now. It's just beat him every single solitary time.
Yeah.
That promo did him a world of good.
Exactly.
I did also like that Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose are having issues. And Roman Reigns is like, oh, you want to blind tag in and get an easy pin? You know, kind of like taunting him. And then Ambrose is like, yeah, I'll take it. He dives in and takes it.
Yes.
A great heel.
Didn't need to hit his move. He just wanted the pin.
He just wanted the win. He didn't care how he got it.
Sheamus versus Ryback. First of all, there's a line on commentary where Cole said that Ryback said that Sheamus could only hurt guys with his kicks because he was wearing steel-toed boots. That would have been such an awesome line for Ryback himself to say in like a 30-second promo. But we had to hear it from Cole, and that made it lamer.
Yeah.
So, this was not the best match on this show, but it may have been my favorite.
It was just a mean guy match. Two dudes beating on each other.
It was a very good mean guy match. It was two big, scary dudes wailing on each other and throwing each other around. And that's the kind of wrestling I love. That's what wrestling should be.
Speaking of, did you see the Hansen match yet?
I have not seen the Hansen Ray Rowe match.
Oh, you got to watch this match, dude. I'm telling you.
From your description, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, and if you go on the thread, everybody agreed this match was great.
Yeah. So, first time Sheamus tried the brogue kick, Ryback caught him in a power. Yes, you heard that correctly. And the second time he tried it, actually Ryback was prepping for his clothesline out of the corner, but he ran right into the brogue kick and got pinned. Great finish. I know realistically this is like an above average SmackDown match, but I fell in love with it.
Nothing wrong with two dudes just pounding on each other for our entertainment.
Never.
That's what pro wrestling used to be.
It is. All I want. It showed Triple H's website interview with Michael Cole. He said he was putting Randy Orton through a series of grueling matches because he wanted to force Orton to be the best he could be. Renee Young interviewed Alberto Del Rio, who said Batista was an animal, you know, like you'd find animals in the circus. He said he was an animal tamer. He was going to turn Batista into a puppy.
What a fucking stupid promo.
Antonio is a
I can't even pretend. That promo sucks. Who writes this shit?
Writers. Writers write this shit. Writers who have never been in a fight and never seen men get in a fight. Antonio Cesaro versus Daniel Bryan had a great wrestling match. All kinds of grappling on the mat. Cesaro did the Bob Backlund lift out of a short arm scissors. Bryan tried a diving knee off the apron, but Cesaro dodged and Jack Swagger ate the knee instead. So here is how over the giant swing is. Cesaro tried it a couple of times, and every time he tried it, Bryan would counter it, and the fans booed. Daniel Bryan got booed in 2014 because these fans wanted to see a giant swing. So they never got it. And eventually Bryan basically hit La Mystica, turning it into the yes lock for the win. It was a SmackDown mid-card match, but this felt like if it had been on pay-per-view and given more time, it would have been super awesome. As it was just really good.
It was funny. I watched this and I thought, man, these guys got shortchanged on time. But based on what they did, it was great. And my dream, and granted, this will never come true, because all I wanted in my life was to see Antonio Cesaro do a giant swing on the midget on El Torito. Never got it. And it seemed like such an easy, obvious thing to do when they were feuding. I want Bryan and Cesaro to have a feud, preferably like a main event feud. And every time they wrestle, I want Daniel Bryan to do the La Mystica into the yes lock. And then I want him to go for the La Mystica, and he's spinning around Cesaro's body, I want Cesaro to somehow catch him in mid swing and turn that into a giant swing for the pin.
That would be awesome.
But it'll only work if he never hits the giant swing before then.
That's true. So after the match, Kane came out. Bryan was distracted, and Cesaro laid him out with a neutralizer, and Kane hit him with a chokeslam for good measure. Renee Young interviewed Randy Orton. He said his loss to Bryan on Raw was a fluke. He vowed to beat Christian tonight, then beat the other three dudes, then win the chamber, and along the way, eliminate all five men. That is a lofty, lofty goal.
You know, I was thinking about this. He's got to face all of the guys in the chamber, and he's beaten a few, and he's lost to a few. So I'm trying to figure out how they're going to do this in the chamber. Like, He beat Christian here tonight. So I'm trying to think of how this would work. I'm figuring the guys he beat, I guess that wouldn't work either. I'm trying to figure out how they can even Steven the entire thing, and I can't figure it out, but I know they're going to figure it out somehow.
Right, yeah. I just thought he was going to lose to all five of them and then weasel his way out of the title of the chamber. But that's out because he's won a match now. So AJ versus Nikki Bella. First, AJ made her entrance. Then they did a commercial break. And if you've never been to a SmackDown entrance, it's live to tape, so they leave space for the commercials. Then the Ernie Ladd bio video aired. Then an Alexander Rusev promo. And then the Bellas came down for the match. So AJ was just in the ring for 5 to 10 minutes just hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
They had your basic women's match. Brie and Tamina brawled on the apron. Nikki threw AJ into both of them, which knocked both of them to the floor. And then Nikki stopped to check on her sister. So basically, Nikki distracted herself.
Yeah. Her own clumsiness.
And AJ, yes, AJ then jumped her from behind and put her away with the Black Widow.
Brie was working harder as a cheerleader on the outside than her sister was working in the actual match. And my God, there was a backdrop that AJ hit Nikki with. It was like, I've never seen a person go so low.
And you don't want to go low on a backdrop, everyone.
No.
Higher the better.
Did you talk about Rusev, by the way?
I just mentioned they had a Rusev promo.
Okay, I missed that. I got to talk about this. So, last week on the show, you know, you watched NXT. I didn't. Dave watched NXT. I didn't. And so everybody's talking about this new groomed look of Alexander Rusev. I had not seen it until I watched this SmackDown here. Good God, this sucks.
It sucks bad.
Alexander Rusev is supposed to be this monster, this beast. And meanwhile,
he's a Bulgarian brute.
He's a Bulgarian brute, and like he's got a carefully trimmed goatee. That actually bothers me more than anything else.
Because I totally get it.
A carefully groomed goatee means that the individual sporting the carefully groomed goatee is concerned about his appearance. It means that he gets up and he takes a shower, and then he looks in the mirror and he carefully sculpts his goatee.
Yes.
This is not a fucking Bulgarian brute.
First, he has to very carefully shave the rest of his face around the edges.
Yes.
And then he has to break out the trimmer. Then he has to break out the trimmer.
Yep.
And go over the entire area. Yeah. This is not what a brute should do.
No.
I totally agree.
And his hair, it looks like he's got, like, it looks like he went to the beauty salon and told him to perm it.
It's a little strong, but it's not good. Yeah.
He's got a perm and a carefully manicured goatee. This sucks.
And then his eyes are half closed, and he's speaking like a perfect gentleman. There's nothing brutish about any of this. Alexander Rusev.
Maybe he's a brute salesman, like the cologne.
Yeah?
Sucks. I'll tell you what doesn't suck. Titus O'Neil's incredible interview backstage.
You like Titus?
I liked Titus all the way until he did the smiling and the laughing gimmick. Titus comes and he explains that his partner, Darren, always used to call himself Mr. No Days Off. But he said, I've been teaming with this guy for 2 years. And for 731 days, every day was an off day. I thought that was the best line of all time. And then, unfortunately, he does a deal where he talks about his awesome smile. He does a goofy smile. He does a goofy laugh. Yeah. And he's just another geek. That part sucked. But up until then, this was a winner of a promo.
I wrote, he came off like a bottom of the card geek. Which he is. But, you know. So he finishes and he's laughing. He's being all dorky and smiley. And Darren Young swoops in and attacks him until they get separated. And after they are separated, the referees have dragged Darren Young away. Titus is laying on the ground untouched, saying, maybe we should talk about it.
Sucked.
What a geek Titus is. Yeah.
For the first half of this, Titus was a megastar. For the second half, he was below Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
And his guard sucks. He needs to work on that.
That's fair. Goldust versus Bray Wyatt. The Rhodes brothers had an inset promo, admitting they were desperate to get the tag titles back. And last week on Raw, Cody had taken a risk by jumping off a cage. So tonight, Goldust was taking a risk by wrestling Bray. These risks are not equal.
No, they're not.
Just wanted to point that out. So this is another match that was... Actually, the Bryan match was good, but could have been longer. This was an average TV match. It's really sad they didn't get any more time. So there was, of course, a distraction finish. The Wyatts attacked Cody, and Goldust turned around to look at it. And then Bray nicked him on the ropes and hit Sister Abigail for the win. That was it. Shield appeared on the screen. You know, talked about beating up the Wyatts. Seth, in particular, said he vowed to scrape off their beards with the bottom of his boot, which I hope he pulls off. And then Bray screamed that they were fools and they were going to leave their eyes battered shut.
I think they're doing a good job building up Bray as a singles main eventer. And they're really trying hard. The Wyatt clan, obviously, the Wyatts are probably going to be in line for a tag title shot. And then Bray Wyatt's going to be facing Cena at Mania. So as far as like building them up for a big thing, doing a hell of a job. And I'm salivating. The idea
I'm
of the
stoked for this match.
The Shield versus the Wyatt clan. I am so excited for that match.
I am stoked for that match. I'm actually stoked for this pay-per-view as a whole, really.
Except for Batista and we'll talk about that.
Okay. Randy Orton versus Christian. I wrote about 8 words for this. In a very competent main event, I've seen these men have dozens of matches better than this. Christian tried his sunset flip off the middle rope, but he jumped right into an RKO and got pinned. And it was your average, maybe a better than average SmackDown main event, but there's certainly nothing special about it. So yeah, this is where I thought Orton was going to lose to everyone in the chamber match going in, and that was wrong. But that was it. So nothing terribly newsworthy on the show, but I really enjoyed the wrestling.
I wrote slightly more than you. Usual good match, sunset flip into RKO finish. Not pay-per-view caliber, but a good TV main event.
Okay, good.
That about covers it.
Yep.
These men are incapable of having a bad match, so there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's do this Raw show here.
All right, now you watched the Hulu version of this, right?
I watched the 90-minute version, yes. I don't think I missed much.
I have an idea. Let's do that every week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can get away
with
that.
I'm so jealous of you. Are people going to quit in droves?
Well, you know what? Let me tell you something about watching the Hulu version. If you record this show, if you record Raw on your DVR, you can quickly fast forward through all of the commercials. And you can watch Raw in about 2 hours. So the Hulu version is 90 minutes long. But there are no fewer than 7 or 8 commercial breaks, which you cannot fast forward through, all of which are about 2 minutes long. So it takes about the exact same amount of time to watch on Hulu as it takes to watch on DVR. And you're forced to watch these god-awful commercials. So honest to God, I would rather watch the 3-hour version and skip the commercials than watch the 90-minute Hulu version and be forced to watch them because they suck.
See, I just don't watch the commercials. I know you can't skip them, but they come on. That's when I check my phone or I pet the cat or whatever.
I see. Well, hey, you know what? You may have missed some cool stuff by... we'll talk about what I didn't get to see on here. So you can decide whether or not it was worth skipping that stuff.
All right. Show opened with Big Show escorting Betty White out on stage. She vowed to kick some ass. In hindsight, she did not live up to this vow. She failed.
She's 8 years older than Granny.
Yeah, I know. She's pretty remarkable.
Oh, yeah.
She's pretty amazing. So, Hunter and Steph came out. And Hunter was smiling a giant smile at Big Show, and Big Show just glared back at him. So, at least they can remember their continuity going back to November. I'm actually glad that exists. Show and Betty left. Helmsley's came down to the ring. Hunter admitted they were reconsidering Daniel Bryan to be the face of the WWE. They were also reconsidering everyone else in the chamber match. Orton came out. They told him to go back and prepare for his match with Cena. He started to apologize for his behavior. A sporadic chance for CM Punk, but louder chance for Daniel Bryan. They talked and they talked and they talked and they talked and they talked. Daniel Bryan came out and they all talked and talked and talked and talked. Bryan demanded a match with Kane. Steph said Kane is suspended. Bryan called them stupid. Orton said they deserved respect. They talked and they talked and they talked and they talked and they talked. And like 9 hours in, Hunter said he was giving Bryan the night off and Bryan and all the fans were pissed. And I wrote down, this took forever and sucked.
Well, I don't have much to add to it, except to say that
this on Hulu,
Daniel, this was on Hulu, unfortunately, Daniel Bryan's babyface stuff. They've got to stop this scripted bullshit. I mentioned that in the SmackDown thing, but it was just as bad here. And it was funny. The Figure Four Weekly this past week, which you haven't checked it out yet. It's up on the site, PDF. There was a letter from somebody in WWE. And is talking about CM Punk. And this person noted that Punk doesn't really want to be the face of the company. Punk doesn't want to go on all these morning shows. Punk doesn't want to do this schedule. And it was this list of things that Punk wasn't going to want to do. Now, Randy Orton was not the person who sent this letter. Believe me, he was not the person that sent this letter. But it was funny, when he did his promo, he said the exact same thing, except he said he wanted to do that. I nearly fell off my chair when I heard that little speech. Yes, he wants to be the guy that is on all these goofy shows. He wants to be the guy that's on the road all the time. But he's not going to be. I don't see him being your typical morning show guy. And I also want to know who in WWE received the strongly worded letter of reprimand that is now part of the storyline with Kane. Because you know somebody got something like this.
Rey Mysterio and the Brothers Rhodes against the Wyatt family. Shorter than most six-mans these days, but the crowd went nuts when Rey made his comeback. Everyone hit giant moves on the floor. Cody went hard into the dasher boards. He cursed loud enough to get bleeped. And the finish looked awesome. Rey was in there with Bray Wyatt, and he went to hit the 619. But after he bounced off the ropes, Rey turned around and caught him as he was running with Sister Abigail. That looked killer. And that was the finish. Bray pinned him. Then Bray retreated to his rocking chair, cut a promo saying the Shield would fail against them, like everyone else had failed against them. They were fighting a war that was not meant for them.
This finish was awesome. And granted, Bray's been in the ring with a lot of good guys, but he's gotten a lot better. He is really improving as a singles wrestler, and hopefully they keep him in the ring with guys like this to keep him getting better. This was good, and the finish, as you noted, was awesome.
At a Royal Rumble recap video, mainly showing Roman Reigns throwing dudes out left and right. Then the Shield had a promo backstage with Renee. They all said they would beat the Wyatts. Renee asked Dean why he had not defended the U.S. title in a long time. He began to make excuses about paperwork. Roman made fun of him. Ambrose said, fine, I'll fight anyone tonight, and it's an open challenge for my U.S. title. The girls were all fawning over Betty White backstage.
Did you presume that Roman was going to challenge for the title?
I had not thought of that, actually.
Really? That was the first thing I thought of. It was the first thing Dave thought of. I think it was designed for people to assume that, even though it wasn't going to happen.
It might have been. It's too early to do that, but yeah, you may be right. So the girls were all fawning over Betty White backstage. Vicky Guerrero arrived and nothing happened, so I don't know why she did that. But they plugged Betty's wacky new show, and the New Age Outlaws arrived, and they promised to protect Betty from any pranks the girls would try to pull, and then they all left to go get some tea.
This was so contrived. This is so badly acted. Yeah, I think it was.
You don't believe the New Age Outlaws and Betty White would be friends?
Not that part, but like all of the divas are just like huddled around Betty White, and then
not even huddled around, standing in a line shoulder to shoulder.
Yes, exactly. So they're all facing the camera, but so they're there, and I can't remember who it was. I think it was Natalia who's explaining to the other girls what the concept of the show was, and it was like, I don't believe one moment of this. And then they cut to, they didn't cut to her. She's just standing there. Nikki Bella goes, I can't wait to watch. Like, give me a break. I couldn't even pretend to believe you're ever going to watch this television show. Yes.
They showed clips
that
of an,
bothered me.
Cena. No, no, that's fine. They showed clips of an Orton Cena match and an I Quit match in 2009. Fandango and Santino in the death match.
Didn't see
him.
Him
and Summer Rae were out there.
Wasn't on Hulu.
You missed virtually nothing. Miz came out to whine about not being on TV, and then he got cut from Hulu. The girls were out there. Fandango won with a leg drop. JBL said that everyone in NXT did Emma's dance with her. I guess they're trying to get all the WWE fans to do the same thing.
Did you hear that they're doing that new, the new remake of, what the hell is that movie? I just wrote about it in the Daily Update today.
The Marine?
No, there's the Marine and then, what the hell is the Jingle Bell movie called?
Jingle All the Way 2.
Jingle All the Way 2. Starring Larry the Cable Guy and Santino.
What was the first one?
Jingle All the Way.
Thank you. Who was in it?
I don't know.
I think that was Schwarzenegger and Sinbad. How in the hell do we get from those two to Santino and Larry the Cable Guy?
All right.
That is no good.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad. Not the Sinbad from our board.
No.
1996, and they've decided to do a remake or a part two 18 years later.
That movie is old enough to vote.
It is.
Oh, God. All right. Byron Saxton was backstage interviewing Sheamus. I wrote down that he talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. It took him way too long to say he was going to win the chamber at Main Event Mania. Christian and Sheamus versus the Real Americans.
This is where Hulu picked back up after the Divas segment with Betty White.
You recall last week, JBL made some comment about Christian's face, and I was stunned that they would think this man ugly. It never occurred to me after watching him now for multiple decades. Well, apparently they're picking up this ball and they're running with it, because Christian cut an inset promo, and my God, black eye. It looked like they geeked up his face like Abdullah the Butcher. Lit it as harshly as possible to show off his cheekbones to make him look ghastly. Hair all disheveled.
Ghastly.
He looked horrible.
You really look they made him ghastly.
Look, they made him look like a particularly ugly 200-year-old man. Out of their way to achieve this.
Ghastly.
Astonishing.
Ghastly.
Yes.
I gotta look up a definition for this.
That was a worse burial of
poor Christian than anything they've ever done for the poor guy. To call him ghastly.
I don't mind, because I can tell this is a concerted effort.
All right.
They're trying to working with this.
Dictionary.com. Ghastly. Shockingly frightful or dreadful. Horrible.
Correct.
Resembling a ghost. Terrible.
That's how he looked in.
And also with a death-like quality.
Am I wrong?
Synonyms. Death-like, pallid, and cadaverous.
He was pallid. That is fact.
Poor Christian. Terrible.
So Zeb and Cesaro, is he? I apparently he's no longer Antonio.
Yes, he's just Cesaro.
Just Cesaro.
By the way, this has nothing to do with anything, but have you heard of the doom of Flappy Bird?
I had not heard of this until it was doomed.
Really?
Yeah. I never heard of the game. I never heard of the app. I never heard of anyone playing it. But suddenly, the guy who makes it pulls it, and everyone is rioting.
Maybe I was just in like a good mood last night because I'm here in paradise, but I heard about Flappy Bird, and there is an article, I can't remember the guy's name, but all you got to do is go to slate.com And a guy there wrote an article about why Flappy Bird needed to die. Funniest goddamn article I've read, and I don't know how so long. I was crying as I read this article about the life and the death of Flappy Bird. So I encourage everybody to go to Slate.com right now and or just Google why Flappy Bird had to die on Slate. Funniest fucking thing I've read in weeks. So check it out. Do you know that people are selling their Flappy Bird? They're selling their phones on what the hell is that thing called?
The phone has the app?
Yeah, they're selling them on eBay. And people are getting thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars for this their fucking phones so that people can play Flappy Bird now that it's been pulled.
Clearly, this man is a fool for pulling it.
His tweet
maybe if
about,
I read the story, it'll make sense, but...
You got to read this article on Slate. Read it when we're done with the show. It's great.
So you got a tweet, or...
Did I what?
I thought you said you got a tweet you're going to read.
No, I said read it after we're done with the show.
All right. That was some great, great radio. All right, so we got this tag match. It's Christian and Sheamus against the Real Americans. And Zeb screamed at Swagger, who lets Cesaro start the match. Sheamus and Cesaro, much like Sheamus and Ryback, were two big dudes wailing on each other, which I always love. What was amazing is that the fans were solidly behind Cesaro. They wanted to see him beat Sheamus. There's a long heat segment on Christian, including the giant swing spot. Eventually, Sheamus got the hot tag, made a great comeback. Everyone loved him. Everyone took turns hitting big moves. And finally, Sheamus pinned Swagger with a brogue kick. A fine little Raw match.
This was a great little match. It was on Hulu, too, so you can all go up there and check it out. I love... And Sheamus is... I don't know. He's not coming across like a superstar, but the people are into him. I guess they were really in everything on this whole show. But for a while there, Sheamus came back, and it was like, you got a big pop of the Rumble, and then people stopped caring. But they cared about him in this match, so this was good.
Cena cut a backstage promo with Renee. He said he and Orton had dominated the company for a decade now, and now the fans were cheering for Daniel Bryan and other people. He actually said this.
Every Cena match. Oh, go ahead.
He vowed to beat Orton tonight, and then he would go on to face Daniel Bryan or The Shield or the Wyatts or anyone else who thought they could beat him.
Every John Cena promo starts the same way. He comes onto the screen, and then he gives this smirk. It's the kind of smirk you'd give, kind of a wink to the audience, like, what you're about to see is going to suck. And then it morphs into the very stern John Cena face, where he makes his face as wide as possible, and his frown, it's kind of like it's not really a frown, it's like a straight face, is as wide as possible. And then he launches into his deal. It's like it's going to be a drinking game now. The John Cena sarcastic, goofy look followed by the stern face before launching into a promo. And by the
Alberto
way,
I
got to add one more thing. The other thing was he gives his speech, everything you said, and he's talking about how we're in the midst of great change. This network is launching is going to change TV. And fans, he said, fans are now supporting new people. And so it's time to tell the fans who these new people are that they're supporting. And he goes, Daniel Bryan and many other guys. Like, wow, they've gotten over
that
some superstars here. And many other guys. You couldn't fucking think of one other guy?
Del Rio squashed Dolph Ziggler in 2 minutes with a super kick. Put him in the armbar after the match until Big Dave came skipping down the ramp. And you heard me correctly. Big Dave skipped down this ramp.
Mm-hmm.
He was back to wearing his regular trunks, not whatever he had in the Rumble, but he still had the short boots on. And he attacked Del Rio and powerbombed him through an announce desk. He picked up a monitor to whack him with it. But they talked him out of it, and he put it down, and he walked away. Yep.
I need to buy this match. Why?
killed him deader than dead.
Just destroyed him. I mean, I presume that Del Rio beats him up like next week on Raw. But dear God, I watched this and I was like, why the fuck would I want to pay for this match?
Yeah. The Bella Twins had a video telling us how to get the network. Did this air on Hulu?
Sadly, it did not. Unless I missed it. But I don't know how I would have.
I'm kind of surprised. Kind of not. Have you heard about this at all?
No, tell me.
All right. To their credit, I have actually very strong mixed feelings about this. To their credit, rather than just have Michael Cole do this like he tells us how to download the app every week, they made a little skit. It was like we were on an airplane, and it was time for these safety instructions. Only instead of stewardesses, it was the Bella Twins.
That's not too bad.
And instead of telling us what's happening.
Nothing, what's up?
It's like, all right. Instead of stewardesses, we had the Bella Twins. And they weren't telling us how to put on our seatbelts. They're telling us how to order the network. I've never seen anything so dumbed down in my entire life. If you thought Michael Cole telling you how to download the app was patronizing, this was, as Hulk Hogan would say, a whole nother level.
Was it more dumbed down than when you're actually on the airplane and in 2014 they're trying to explain how to put on a seatbelt?
Close. I would say yes, because the first thing they told you was that your device needs to be not only plugged in, but also turned on. But hey, better safe than sorry.
It's better safe than sorry.
Yeah. Triple H met with Big Dave backstage. He said, this is now a publicly traded company. I need you to behave, because if somebody gets hurt, my neck is on the line. He offered Dave a match with Del Rio at the pay-per-view. And Dave accepted. He said, things around here really have changed.
I do like that he said, we're a publicly traded company now. They were a publicly traded company before Big Dave broke into the business.
They were, weren't they?
Yes. There's never been a period where Batista's been a professional wrestler that they have not been a publicly traded company.
I had not thought of that, but you're right. They announced Lita for the Hall of Fame.
Believe it or not, this was not on Hulu.
Really? So, you know how every time they show a clip from the past, you always think, man, that was great. And then you think, man, wrestling sucks now. This was one of those times.
I'll bet.
We watch Lita, or excuse me, we watch the Bellas, we watch Oksana, we watch even like, we watch Tamina, we watch Rosa Mendez. And then they put clips of Lita on there. She was so much better than anyone they have right now.
Oh, yeah. I heard they did at the tapings tonight, they did a singles match. A singles match with Alicia Fox versus Eva Marie. I was told it was god awful.
Sure it was.
Lita was better.
The Outlaws tried to spike Betty White's tea, but she was too smart for them and she spiked theirs instead.
By the way, I don't like to get into people's personal lives, but who inducts Lita?
There are many options.
Because the current biggest women's star in WWE is AJ Lee. And they have of AJ when she was like 12 years old at an autograph signing for Lita, crying because she got to meet her hero Lita. It's a very famous footage, right?
Yeah.
AJ Lee is currently dating CM Punk, who used to be dating Lita. So this would be quite the awkward induction.
That would be a good one for awkward. If I could pick any one person to induct Lita into the Hall of Fame, I would pick Matt Hardy.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either, but it would be entertaining. Betty White spiked the Outlaws tea.
This Axel thank back God was not on Hulu.
I will say, if it was described to you, it probably sounds worse than it actually was. It was not good. But it was not as... It could have been worse, I'll say that. So the whole point is that the Outlaws were out there on commentary. And Billy was coughing, and then he got bleeped several times. And they were all wondering what was wrong with him. About 3 minutes in, the Usos pinned Axel with a splash. And the Outlaws started to confront them, but then Mr. Ass grabbed his ass and ran to the back.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Good.
Dean Ambrose versus a mystery opponent. Mystery opponent was not, in fact, Roman Reigns. It was Mark Henry.
I like how we're this far into the show. They've announced that Mark Henry is coming back on the show. Mark Henry hasn't been on the show yet, and it's still a mystery opponent who Dean Ambrose is going to face.
That's right. Right. So I am not sure which was better. Dean's look of dismay when he saw that he was wrestling Mark Henry, or Roman's look of glee when he knew Dean was wrestling Mark Henry. So they had a long match. It was not especially good. It was mostly Dean working over Henry's bad arm. And then finally he made a one-arm comeback, hit the World's Strongest Slam, shield attacked for the DQ. He fought them off for a while, but eventually Reigns speared him on the floor. And then the Shield were heading out. And the Wyatts made their entrance. And this was so awesome. So the Wyatts, the screen goes black, and you think, okay, it's going to be another promo. But then instead he just says, we're here. And the music starts, and then they're out on the floor. And the Shield had just crossed over the barricade, and the two teams stare each other down. And the Shield turn around, you know, the barricade, and they stand in the ring. Two teams stare at each other. And the Wyatts climb up on the apron. The fans cheer a little louder. They stare at each other. And the Shield climbs up on the apron. Everyone cheers a little louder. And the Shield gets in the ring. Everyone's going nuts. And then Bray steps like 1 foot through the ropes. The place is about to explode. And then he backs off. He takes his men and he leaves. And everyone's sad they didn't get to see a fight. This was so awesome.
It was awesome, and actually,
besides making me want to see the fight, they have let the fans know these two teams are going to fight, and you do have a rooting interest now. Now you want to cheer for the Shield, and especially Roman Reigns, who's going to get cheered anyway.
That's right. That's right. The key was that whenever the Shield's over the barricade, and first they jump the barricade, then they get on the apron, then they get inside the ring. The guy who led the charge for every single one of these events was Roman Reigns. So Roman Reigns was the one who got cheered the entire time. I mean, they cheered the entire Shield because they were looking for a fight. But the key was Roman was the guy. Roman's the guy who wants to fight. Roman's the guy who wants to get in there. Roman's leading the charge. So, yeah, this was awesome.
Just excellent, excellent, excellent stuff. They had the, for Black History Month, the Bobo Brazil tribute video.
Didn't see this.
They showed him cutting some great promos and throwing some ungodly terrible punches. I will say that I hope when Black History Month is over, they just keep doing these little historical profiles because they're really cool. And they're really well done. And it's not like there's not hundreds of wrestlers they couldn't do these on. Just cool stuff. And they got 3 hours to kill anyway. What the hell? Oksana and Alicia and AJ versus the Bellas and Cameron.
Man, they cut this from Hulu. Can you believe that?
I know, hard to believe. Especially after those viewership numbers Mookie ran on this. So they talked about Naomi undergoing surgery after Oksana broke her face. I will admit, I mentioned earlier that none of these girls can hold a candle to Lita, and that's still true. But by and large, they all looked fine here. Cameron especially has improved significantly, and Oksana didn't break anybody's face this week. And Cameron with a DDT.
Mm-hmm. You know, I got to say one thing about Mookie's numbers, and he mentioned this, and everybody else is well aware of this, I'm sure, but it's really hard to do the ratings breakdowns because, my God, these women matches are always put in the death slot. It's billed as a death slot. Everybody knows it's a death slot. And aside from, like, one girl breaking another girl's orbital bone, nothing ever happens in these matches. I mean, you're essentially told now is the time to turn the channel. You know what I mean? So
You're correct on all of this. Yes.
You can't, because I mean, even Dave in the newsletter, he I think he tried to make a point that, you know, the idea is if you put pretty beautiful people on television, people will tune in. But the women's numbers prove that wrong. And it's like, it doesn't prove that wrong. You know, it has nothing to do with what they look like. It's the fact that they're put in a death slot. You know, it's a death slot. It's essentially advertised as a death slot. It doesn't matter what they look like. It's not going to do well. I mean, if you took a girl and you broke her out of the pack, which they kind of did for AJ for a little while, you know, there were like three straight Raws eight months ago or so where AJ was out there in the overrun segment. And so guess what? I'm sure AJ's numbers during that period were gigantic. It had nothing to do with whether she was pretty or not. It was, she was put in a main event segment and pushed as a main eventer. So there's something to the ratings patterns, but everyone is, WWE puts certain people at certain times, and the fans know that the important stuff happens at certain times. So it's kind of like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy at this point, how numbers are going to change.
All true. All true. We had the Alexander Rusev promo. Pretty sure it's the same one. If not, it may as well have been. Kane came out for a promo. I don't know why, if he was on administrative leave, that he was there and then allowed to come out and cut a promo. This doesn't make any sense. Bryan very quickly ran down. They had a brawl, went back and forth for a bit. Bryan got the better of things. Kane had to run away through the crowd. Easily the biggest reaction for anything on the entire show. And they were sure to get a shot of Bryan leading the crowd in chants as he stood underneath the WrestleMania sign. Betty White cut a promo backstage. She said she had had so much fun being there, and now let's get to the main event. She was so happy.
It's a long night.
It was a long night. And then it was John Cena versus Randy Orton. Early on, crowd was kind of sorted into this. They were dueling chants for Cena, and then mostly stretches of silence interrupted by occasional chants for Punk or Bryan. And then by the end, I think the turning point, Orton hit a DDT, and Cena appeared to take this bump on his forehead, just spiked himself into the ground. And from that point on, it was really awesome. Orton hit a elevated DDT with Cena's feet draped on the top rope. And after Orton hit this move, he snapped. He turned to the crowd. He screamed at them to call him boring or say he did the same old shit or any of this stuff. And then as soon as he said that, he turned around and Cena cut him off and put him in the STF. And they kicked out of everyone. They kicked out of each other's finishers. And finally, Cena hit the guillotine leg drop and the AA for the win. A hell of a match. Better than some pay-per-view main events. And I guess it doesn't matter who won, or we'll see how it leads to. But it was fun to watch.
That's the key. Yeah. They have a good match every time. They always have a good match. I watch them and I'm like, that's a damn good match. You know, I like the Royal Rumble match. I like this match. But you know what? I don't need to see this match again. I can go three more years before I see this match again. It's just, it's Cena versus Orton. How many times can we see this match? You know what I mean? But I mean, it was completely forgettable, but it was a really good match. So thumbs up for it. But let's all move on with our lives now. That's all I ask. That was wrong.
Moving on with our lives, let's end the show.
All right, listen, everybody. Here's the update. The stream is down. And I don't know why. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with Hawaii. The stream is hosted at a remote location. I don't know why it's down. Tony doesn't know why it's down. But we have put a support ticket in, is what it's called. And so hopefully very soon it will be up and running again. I don't know what the problem is. Seems like it went down at about 6:30. So I guess we'll see what happens. But I do apologize for that, everybody. I will update everybody on Twitter throughout the evening what the status of the stream is, when it's going to be back, and obviously when we'll be doing the next live show again, because for the next 6 days, live shows will take place when they take place. So don't go by the schedule at f4wlive.com. When I return, we'll be back at the normal schedule. So bookmark f4wlive.com, because that's the schedule we normally go by. But for the next 6 days, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Brian Alvarez, and I will alert you when the stream is back up running and when you can listen to all of our live shows over the next 6 days. So anyway, this show It is a free show today, so if you like what you hear, don't hesitate. It's the best time to sign up at all. At any point during the year, this is the best time to sign up. It's $10.99 a month, as low as $9.99 a month if you sign up for a long-term subscription. So if you're getting the WWE Network, you're figuring out how to subscribe to things online, how to stream things online, hey, might as well have some 24/7 streaming audio. So check it out at WrestlingObserver.com, and I'll be back tomorrow with Dave. And back on Thursday with Vinny. And that is it from here, everybody. So we shall talk to you again very soon.
Aloha.